So Jonah says, I'm not preaching the Ninevites. He goes another way. God's going to make that happen. And if he's got to swallow you up by a whale or a big muskie or walleye in Minnesota, I don't know. He'll make it happen. All right? God's will got done. Jonah's will didn't get done. You want to, when it comes to God's will, be a part of his providential will. Okay, so that's providential will. Moral will, we don't have to spend much time on that. That's very easy to understand. There are some things that God says, this is right, this is wrong. You don't even need to pray about whether or not to do the things that God says are wrong. If you're faced with a moral choice, and it's a clear moral choice, some of them are muddy, but in a clear moral choice, you just do what's morally right. You don't, again, don't need to pray about it. Here's a couple examples. Is it God's will for you to steal gas from the SA? No. Do you need to pray about that? God, should I steal gas today? No. Thou shalt not steal. All right? In that case, it's pretty cut and dry. Is it God's will for you to go in debt just to buy a new toy? Get a big screen TV, bigger TV, go into debt to do it. Is that God's will? He's thinking. Football season's over, so it's easy. You just, no. Or be a basketball guy, though. Yeah, so then right now I'd be, maybe. All right. No. Sorry, Brandon, you prayed, but no. To go into debt to just buy something that you don't need is not God's will. You don't have to fast and say, God, I'm going to fast until I get a yes. No. The answer is just no. God says don't do that. He didn't specifically say with the TV, but all right. Is it God's will for you to cheat on your exam? No. You don't need to seek wise counsel. You know, go to your pastor and, well, should I cheat on my exam or not? You know, no. The answer is no. And this is a real example I'm giving you. There was a pastor who was married who left his wife for someone else in the congregation and said the Holy Spirit told him this is really the person he was supposed to have married. Again, I'm slow in a lot of situations to judge people. Was that God's will? No. And how can I say that with authority? I'm not there. How do I know? The Bible. There are some things in the Bible that are spelled out. This is morally wrong, this is morally right. When it comes to discerning God's will, if there's a clear passage in Scripture that clearly addresses it, then you go with what the Bible says, if you want to know God's will. Okay, well, let's talk about this last one then, because this last one, this individual will, this is, I think, where most of our questions are. Because you can't go to the Bible and say, okay, God, who should I marry? Because you'll probably just do the flipping, oh, I got to find someone named Esther, Deborah, Mary, you know, go through the biblical names. You know, right. It's not that simple. You know, a lot of our questions, how do we know? You know, in this economy, God, should I be doing something different? Should I be seeking for another job? Should I be preparing for something else? You know, what God, should I be doing? Should I be going back to school? You know, should I just be taking a temporary job? What's your will, God? That one, you can go to the Bible and you won't get a clear providential or clear moral, you know, answer on that. So we could go on and on. So I believe God has opinions on a lot of our individual will stuff. How do we know it? How do we discern it if you can't just go to the Bible? Well, now of all the foundational statements I've given you, here's the one I most want you to remember from today. Actually, from the whole series, I will be shocked if there's anything that comes around later. It could happen, but I'll be shocked if there's anything that we come up with later that's more important than this. So please write this down. In fact, elbow somebody right now and say, write this down, write this down. Here it is. Knowing the what begins with knowing the who. Knowing the what begins with knowing the who. If you want to know God's will, the most important thing is to get to know God. And I think a lot of this is intuitive. It's not as much fun as lightning bolts and smiting, but I think we get it. You know, some of you probably have relationships where you could order off the menu for someone else and get it right. How many of you could do that? How many could probably order off the menu for someone else and get it right? Okay? Or this, how many of you ever could finish someone else's sentences for them a lot of times, okay? You know, there's all these different situations where if you know someone really well, you kind of know their will. And the better you know them, the more you know their will. Because as you get to know their character and their preferences and what they like and what they don't dislike, they don't have to give you a big, long list of everything. You just kind of know because you know them. And of everything we're going to talk about, that's most foundational to God, because the more you start to know God's character and his personality and his likes and his dislikes and these types of things, the more you're able to say, you know what? This seems like a God-honoring choice. This one doesn't. As you go back and forth on that. And it's been so fun to get to know many of you. I know so many more of you so much better than I did before. And it would have been a shot in the dark to try to know your personalities or to try to think, I think this is what these guys would like. I think what they wouldn't. I would have been surprised, you know. I think of like Becky Hoffer in this case. Like I just thought Becky, she's just always so sweet and always so just, you know. And she goes, no, she's pointing to somebody else going, what do you mean? And she is, she's all of those wonderful things that you see, but she also has this little mischievous side to her and you know, just it's that fun little piece. And we could go on and on with all the rest of you. There's little things I'm starting to know better, you know, that I would pick a different gift than I would have picked before, or I would maybe not tell a certain joke around you that I might tell around someone else. You know, you start to get to know these things a little bit better as you get to know people over time. And it's the same thing with God. The more you get to know him, the more you just kind of know what he would do in a given situation. Now, God is always speaking. Always speaking. Here's just a sample of some ways that God speaks. A short list, actually. God speaks through nature. The Bible says that. God speaks through others. God speaks through what are called open and closed doors, where he allows something to happen and he blocks something else. God speaks through coincidence. God speaks through hard times. God speaks through a voice that you can hear, like audibly. Sometimes he does that. He also, I think, most commonly speaks through what I can only describe as a voice that you don't hear with your ears, but you like think it, feel it. He speaks that way. He speaks through visits from angels. When we talk about, we're going to have a series called Heaven and Hell, Angels and Demons later this year. That'll be interesting. I want to look at that. I wonder if, you know, does God still send angels today? He speaks through what's called a fleece, where it's kind of like a test that you put before God. He speaks through dreams. He even spoke through a donkey. I don't know if it's fair for me to put plural, because I know one time he did it. But anyway, so God's always speaking, but the big question is, how do I know this is God? How do I know this closed door isn't just because I did something wrong? How do I know this voice I hear in my head isn't just the voice I hear in my head that I need to get therapy for? How do I know that? Because there's, Bible warns us that there's a deceiver. He calls him the father of lies. Calls him our adversary. And he's at work too. And we have what's called a fallen nature that draws us to sin. So how do we navigate all of this? Well, a big part of it is get to know God. The Bible says in John, my sheep hear my voice. In other words, Jesus wants to develop this relationship that's like a sheep and a shepherd, where sheep won't just go to anyone. They'll go to the shepherd, though. They begin to trust this voice. And God wants to get to a place where, okay, that voice I know. That voice I recognize. This is God. This is not one of those other voices. But God goes beyond that. He goes beyond calling us sheep. He uses the analogy of father. And think how intimate, if we live as God intended us to live, think how intimate that relationship is. You know, I know my kids better than any of you know my kids. Unless Laura's in here. I mean, then we can battle for the tie or something. But we know our kids better than any of you guys know our kids. And a lot of you know our kids very, very, very well. But because we have that ongoing relationship, and they begin to know us too, which is important, because sometimes mom and dad will say things that a child doesn't understand. Right? We send our girl, our Emma, she's a kindergartner. She goes to an elementary school, Turtle Lake, it's called Turtle Lake Elementary, public school. And they had a Halloween party. And she comes home from the Halloween party with this little toy devil, which you can't tell the reason Christmas exists, but you can pass out devils to the kids. I got to talk to the principal, I guess. I don't know how. Pray for me on that. Okay, anyway. But she comes home with this little toy devil. And so here I am as a dad going, oh, great. Here comes the you can't have the devil in the house conversation. It wasn't prepared for, yeah, which apparently I was prepared for, right? So she gets this new toy, and I get to do the hard work of a father of saying, you know, the devil isn't a toy we play with. and the hard job of trying to communicate to a kindergartner that, you know, Bible's true. And we opened up the Bible and we looked at some of these things, and it was hard. There were tears shed, you know? It's hard as a parent to communicate to your kids because there are some things that your ways aren't their ways. And I happen to live in a house where it's me, three girls, and two puppies. And very often, their ways aren't my ways, and my ways aren't theirs. But, you know, in the relationship, we can discover more about each other and try to understand and listen and communicate. And that's, God himself uses that analogy. He wants to be a father to you so that even when you read things that you don't understand, you can say, okay, God, I trust you. You may or may not reveal this to me later. And again, I refer back to readings that we had this week. There's this crazy episode that I have no idea what it means, where God tells Moses, go speak to Pharaoh. And Moses tries all his excuses, doesn't get killed then, but he's on his way. He's actually going to do what God told him to do. And then there's this weird little paragraph that is not explained at all, where God says God's going to kill Moses. And then there's this bizarre thing that we won't talk about before lunch or in the presence of kids, of this ritual that is actually done. And you're going, what was that? And then it just moves on with the story. You know, and you're left going, I have no clue what I just read, but God, I trust you. And you included this word. And even harder, and I thought of some of you guys when I was reading the devotions, where it says, I give speech, you know, or I give speech, or I make people mute, and I give sight, and I make people blind, and I give hearing. And I just go, God, I don't understand that. And I know there's people here that don't understand that. And I think the best answer I can do is it comes back to childlike faith in some situations of, God, how do I know your will, and how do I pray, and how do I communicate this? But you are God. I know that, but I don't know this. It's in that context of family that God wants to help reveal his word. And now let's go even one step farther. God doesn't just reveal himself as a shepherd where we can learn the voice of where we as sheep can learn his voice. He doesn't just reveal himself as a father where we can get to know him like family. He uses the analogy of bride and bridegroom and marriage and affair to describe us. You talk about intimate. That's supposed to be the most intimate of all relationships. God wants to have that kind of relationship with us. And it's interesting then to carry that line of thinking out. What happens to a marriage when there's not faithfulness to that? Like, what would happen if you tried to have a marriage but you only Sunday mornings would communicate, right? Or when you need something. Like, I need something now, like we do with God. I need something now, so let's communicate now. You know, or I'm only going to spend time Sunday, but the rest of the week I'm going to do my own thing. We laugh at that, right? But then in our relationship with God, do we do that sometimes? You know, real quickly, let me put up two verses that speak to this. You know, it says this, if you want to know God's will, one of the things that God says in his word is, the Lord confides in those who fear him. And if you're having a hard time hearing God's voice or deciding what to do, start with this question. A who question rather than a what question. Instead of just saying, God, give me an answer, give me an answer. Maybe you need to say, God, am I showing reverence? And that's what that fear is really talking about there. Am I showing reverence and deference to you, God, in my life? Or like this one, it says, they didn't follow my decrees, rejected my laws. You continue to defile yourself with all your idols to this day. Am I to let you inquire of me? As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I will not let you inquire of me. Again, if you're having a hard time discerning God's will, it might not be a what issue, it might be a who issue. Are you just ignoring what God says about living a God-honoring life? If so, maybe ask God to help you with that before turning to him and saying, answer my question right now. Not as much fun. Some of you in this room may have not ever taken that step where you've asked God, or you've consciously said, God, here's my life. Where the Bible says, to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Maybe some of you have never done that, taken that step where you say, God, I consciously receive you. I consciously turn my life over to you. I want you to be like a father to me. Please be like a father to me. a father that I listen to, a father that I trust, a father that I live in obedience to. Maybe some of you never done that. If that's the case, I would want nothing more today than to pray with you, you know, after the service is done. Okay? Most of you have taken a step like that. And if so, then let me give you your next step. If I described you earlier with that statement, your next step, let's talk, let's pray. If you've already done that, then here's your next step, and that is to read the Bible every day and to pray for guidance. There's nothing I can think of after that first step that is going to help you more when it comes to knowing the who than to do those two things, to read your Bible every day and to know and to pray for guidance. And let me just give a quick demonstration as to why I think that's true by asking this question. Does anyone know my least favorite thing to eat? Okay, show of hands. Just before you yell it out, the least favorite thing to eat is what? Egg salad sandwich. How did you know that it was an egg salad sandwich? How did you know? I wrote it in the green sheet, okay? And when you guys walked in, if you're reading the green sheet, I'm like, Chris, trivia, great. What? This has nothing to do with anything. You know, it's right there, right? It did have something to do with something. It had to do with me wanting to give a Caribou gift card to somebody. So there you go. And yeah, I wanted to do something for somebody, so I put this obscure fact that made no sense in your notes. There are going to be times where the Bible makes no sense while you're reading it. But God wants to speak to you. He wants to get to know you. And sometimes what you discover, you'll reap the benefit from it. He has given you this book that sometimes he's speaking through poetry. Sometimes he's speaking through history. Sometimes he's speaking through letters. He's speaking all these different ways, and he wants to meet you. I once heard an author say, reading your Bible is really listening to God. And I know I've said that before in here, but it's worth repeating. Reading your Bible is like listening to God. He's speaking his words to you. He wants to get to know you. Here are some things that others have said about the Bible. Let me just give you two quick quotes. I love this one. The Bible is both the witness to and vehicle of revelation. The Bible is a witness to God's revelation. Like it shows how he's spoken through history. It shows what he said to others. So it witnesses to that, but it's also the vehicle of. He wants to speak to you through what he said to David, through the mistakes that others made. He wants to do both. And I love this last one too. This is more straightforward. Abide in God's word because it equips you for every good work. You are equipped to live and you're equipped to die. You are equipped to rejoice. You are equipped to grieve. It equips you in poverty. It equips you in wealth. It equips you to serve. It equips you to reel. It equips you for heaven. It equips you from earth. That's what the scripture can do. When it comes to knowing God's will, the full range, the Bible can do these things. Well, here's the last verse I want to look at today, and I'll tell you one story and we'll be done. This is a passage out of Romans 12. As you read the Bible, you'll come across passages like this that just affirm what was just spoken. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his pleasing, perfect will. It's not always this mystical thing where you just wait until you get an answer. So much of God revealing his will comes as we just offer our bodies as living sacrifices. And we say, God, here it is. Take my life. Lead me. I'm going to be obedient to you. And how often does God teach us through that? Well, that's what we're talking about today. That's the foundation for our series. And is, in all honesty, 99% of the decisions I make, that I want 100% of them to be God's, 99% of the decisions I make are made the way we talked about today. You try to follow God, you try to live according to the Bible, and you just try to act wisely. You know? You just try to make decisions based on, as best you can, what you think God would do. So that's how I operate 99% of the time. But 1% of the time, God just tells you stuff. And that's really fun. Here's one quick story. True story that happened to me. When I came right out of college, my first job was in a small church in New Ulm, Minnesota, which I heard is going to be in a movie. Laura just told me, Renee, I don't know her name, Renee Zellweger, yeah, that. She did a movie based in New Ulm. So, you get to see Herman the German and the Glockenspiel. Anyway, so I'm in New Ulm, Minnesota, was there for 4 years. God was doing all kinds of great and wonderful things. The youth ministry was taking off. We were on the verge of, you know, what I thought was, you know, reaching all the teenagers in town. It was really, really cool. Well, I'm sitting in my little First United Methodist Church on Pentecost Sunday in 1995. And in my head, not audible, but it was impressed upon me, North Heights Church, this church I had volunteered as a college student, but I hadn't been to really since then. North Heights Church. I'm like, what is this? So I went home and I couldn't shake it. North Heights Church. Couldn't shake it. So I'm like, I got to do something about this. I feel like I'm something about North Heights Church. I'm in youth ministry. Why don't I call somebody I know from North Heights Church, ask him, is there anything going on with your youth ministry? So I call up a friend of mine who I knew from North Heights Church who was still there. His name's Dave Bowler. And coincidentally, the only time I've seen Dave Bowler in the last 3-4 months was yesterday. Interesting, huh? So anyway, I call up Dave and I'm like, Dave, well, actually I didn't get Dave, I got his wife Lori on the phone. And I said, Lori, is there anything going on with the youth ministry at North Heights Church? And she goes, ah! And I didn't know what ah means, but she translated. And she said, we have an opening in our youth ministry. It just happened, and we haven't advertised it yet because we've been praying that God was going to lead the people that should apply to do so. I said, that's interesting. And now it gets even better because on the drive up, I'm going to have an interview, right? I'm driving up, and I'm feeling like, The position was 10th through 12th grade that was open, and I'm just impressed. It's going to be, I'm supposed to be applying for a 7th through 9th grade position. This is weird. But God, you brought it this far, so let's see what happens. So I go up there, and the day I come up for the interview, the 7th through 9th grade position opens up. I wish God did that more often, you know? But it was fun. And for a season of my life, I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. It was God's will. I don't look back and say it was anything other than that for that season. Did I know what was going to come next? No. But I followed God and He spoke. And next week, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit because I believe it was the Holy Spirit that did that. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to tell you specific things. And God will do those kind of moments. If He hasn't already, God wants to do those kind of moments in your life too. So we'll hit pause now. We'll pick up with that then. All right, let me pray, and then Isaiah's going to get some closing. Here's some stuff you need to know. Let's pray. Let's seal this part though. God, we thank You that You are a God who created us with purpose. We thank You that You're a God who wants us to know what that purpose is. So Lord, help us. Bring us back to the who so that we can learn what. In Jesus' name, amen.